Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. It's easy to get started. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Now batting, number one in our hearts. At least he'd like to think so. It's the Jim Day Podcast.
Yes, indeedy, here we are again. It's another edition of the Jim Day Podcast. Thanks for checking us out, spreading the word. And we've got another, well, this is a conversation I've been looking forward to, because as I've told him, you know how you watch thousands of at-bats or thousands of pitchers, and you can kind of just tell who's got it from the get-go? Well, it goes that way as far as interviews go and interesting people. And I knew this dude was interesting right off the bat, and he is not letting us down. He's more interesting on the mound, which is really saying something, but he is Reds pitcher TJ Antone. TJ, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. I didn't know you were saying I was interesting in interviews, too. That's what's fun.
No, I could tell right away because, one, it was in the dugout in Goodyear, Arizona, and you just came up and started shooting the breeze. And, like, and we were talking like we'd, you know, known each other for years. So that was kind of tipped my hat a little bit.
Plus, yeah, I try to, you know, be friendly and get to know everyone. I was kind of new around the block, so I knew who you were, so I wanted to get to know you.
I appreciate that. Very much so. You know, some of the veterans will tell people that come over to the Reds or someone coming up with the Reds, they're like, okay, if you want anything to get out there, that's the guy. So go go butter him up.
Oh, yeah, that was probably the game plan underneath it all. I'm just trying to butter you up so you'd like me.
Well, plus, you know, and if people that have listened to me know that I'm enamored with the big league beard you got going on. I mention it often. Yeah. It's all pro already, like first team all pro of any sport. And I'm envious because during the shutdown, it took me a while to grow facial hair, and it did not look good.
Yeah.
I mean, yours is just immaculate. If there's such a thing as an immaculate beard, you've got it.
Well, I appreciate that. Funny story behind that. In 2017, I was looking for a new look. And so I grew my hair out and I had like long hair. I had like a little tiny bun, like slash ponytail. Well, in 2017 spring training, I tore my UCL. And, you know, baseball players, like, we correlate weird things. So, like, I grew my hair out. I tore my UCL. Well, the hair got axed really fast. So I had to look for something else. Well, after I, you know, rehabbed, I usually was cleaner cut. I was, like, kept it pretty short, like more of a 5 o'clock shadow. I was like, I'm going to grow my beard out. You know, I knew my dad had, like, a good beard. So I'm going to grow my beard out. And started doing well, started throwing better, and kept the correlation, you know, had to let the beard keep going, see if I keep going better.
Wow, the
so
secret's
kinda,
out.
Kinda, yeah, the secret is there now.
It's not the new mechanics or recovering from Tommy John surgery or analytics. It's the beard. I mean, who would have known? That's
it's
as old school as it gets.
It's the beard.
However, did come at a price, right? Wife wasn't too keen on the beard.
Well, she doesn't like it super long. She tells me clean it up all the time, and I'm like, well, you know, they're in season, honey. It's my beard. I have to, I gotta grow it out. So in the off season, I'll tighten it up for her so I can look cute for pictures and Christmas and all that.
You look cute for pictures. I love that.
Yeah.
All right, let's let Reds fans get to know you a little bit. Mansfield, Texas native, right? Where's that? That's Northeast Texas, is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of like in between Fort Worth and Dallas. If you know where like the Rangers and the Cowboys play,
yeah,
they're in Arlington. Mm-hmm. Mansfield's just the next city south of Arlington. So, yep, that's where I grew up. I moved there when I was like 7 years old. So,
you grew up
Texas
a Cowboys
native.
Fan?
As hard as that is to say, yes, I grew up a Cowboys fan.
Well, that's going to do it for TJ Antone. Thanks for joining. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
You mentioned your father, Tony. We've talked about this on the air. Played football and baseball, University of Oklahoma. Was a backup quarterback. What is a freshman? 1975 national championship team. Did I have that right?
Yeah. Yeah. My dad, he's a savage. He's a competitor. And I learned a lot from him, just more about like the mental side of the game and like how you have to go out when you're on the field, you're in kill mode and there's no friends. And I love that about him, how he's a very soft, like kind-hearted person, you know, off the field. And I didn't get to necessarily watch him play, but just him talking through his mentality when he was on the field and taking some of those notes like along the way, it was really cool to be able to learn from someone that was, you know, just, you know, my father, and I had like a D1 athlete right there with me.
Yeah. A savage. Wow. I love that description. He's just a savage. Because as a competitor and an athlete, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that guy whenever he was in his prime, for sure. I get him now, though.
You can get him now? Do you remind him often that you can get him now?
Oh, he knows I can get him. He knows.
I also love the story of your name, TJ, but it's spelled T-E-J-A-Y, not just the letters T and J. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Parents wanted you to be Tony Jr., but they wanted it to be different, right?
Yeah, they wanted me to be Tony Jr., but they wanted to call me TJ. But I guess they like didn't necessarily like the initials T, you know, T.J.
Right.
So they just were like, oh, let's just like name him TJ. I think that was more of my mother's finding. I think she came up with that, and then it was my dad like agreed with it.
Oh yeah, dad has to agree with mom. I mean, you know,
true.
Happy wife, happy life. I know that. He was quoted as saying, "I think it'll be a big league name."
Yes, my dad did say that.
That is great.
My dad did say that when I was a child.
Well, man, prognosticator. It is a big league name.
He nailed it. He nailed it.
How far you have come is really amazing. Now, what'd you have? Tommy John surgery in 2018, right?
17.
17? 17, my bad. So when you had Tommy John surgery and your fastball was like 89 to 93, you know, and you saw how much velocity is important in this game now, were there times you're like, man, this might not happen for me?
I feel like, you know, doubt is probably present in every minor leaguer's mind at some point. But, you know, I just was like, you know, I'm just going to have better off-speed stuff. I'll be known as a guy who, like, hits his spots and just has a really good, you know, slider, really good curveball. And so I honestly think that, like, throwing softer early on, like, helped me a ton because it helped me develop, like, my two like best pitches now, like my slider, my curve. And then as I kept developing my fastball, it was a little bit late bloomer, but as I kept developing the fastball, it like really expanded my whole arsenal together. And now everything's just working, you know, they have to respect the fastball instead of like, oh, if he throws me a fastball, I'm going to hammer it. And if he throws me the other stuff, like, you know, like, I'm just not going to look for it because I'm not going to swing for it. That's kind of how it was early on. That's why I feel like I could command my slider really well, because in the minor leagues, people didn't swing at it because they knew they couldn't hit it. So I had to throw it for strikes for them to respect it. Originally, it was so, like, sweepy and it moved so much that as soon as the guy notices that he's not going to be able to hit it, the hitters get smart and they just don't swing at it. So you have to show them that you can throw it for a strike. And a lot, you know, having that pitch and then with the fastball now, I feel like I'm in a really good spot.
That is so interesting that you refined your secondary pitches first and then you got the velocity. If you could map it out, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah, I think if you could map it out, that would be the way to do it. But nowadays, like, you don't even get signed if you don't throw hard. Like, you have to throw hard first and they try to you know, develop the off-speed pitches.
Yeah, that's why it's amazing to me. You know, again, the fastball you were in the range of 89 to 93. Now you're in the upper 90s with a lot of spin and a lot of deception. How did you do it? You've told me this story of the you know, how you got the velocity to increase, but can you let the fans know how it happened? Because it doesn't happen like that very often, naturally at least.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely, when you say naturally, I've definitely gotten my finger pointed at me a couple of times saying like, oh, well, you know, he did steroids. Like,
yeah, no, that's a natural.
I get tested everyone the same as everyone else. Yeah. I've never done anything unnaturally. So,
right. That's why I bring up naturally because it doesn't happen usually.
To say that about me is like, it's definitely a character shot. And I really don't appreciate that because I know about all the work that I've put into figure this out. And I think it's accumulation of a lot of things. I had Tommy John surgery going into spring training at 17. And after an off season of feeling really good, I come to the spring training and I start hurting. And up until this point, like I had never gotten injured before. And I, you know, being young, I assumed I was invincible, let's say. You know, I'd never gotten injured. I had good off seasons. I had good seasons coming up to that point. I had just came off a season of like team wins, like having like a 3-0 and you know, high A, like expecting a AA starting spot. And now all of a sudden I'm injured and like my career's like, I mean, could be ending. I don't know what's happening with my life. That's kind of where I was at. I literally was hitting rock bottom.
Wow.
You know, all these people, all my fans, all my friends and family, you're going to make it. And then all of a sudden I have a torn UCL. So I had to go back to the drawing board and really figure out why did I tear my UCL and so I'm like watching video and studying the game and studying high level elite pitchers and figuring out the positions that they're hitting as they're coming down the mound. And so I'm figuring out like, okay, like that makes sense. Like I'll try and start hitting those positions. That with just, you know, better strength through a rehab program, like definitely helped. And then, as we go forward, like I went to a new trainer in the off season, started training at APEC, which is where, Patrick Mahomes trains, and he's obviously a pretty good athlete. There's a lot of good, athletes that train at APEC as well.
Just and, a slightly like a good really, athlete, just slight good athlete.
There. Yeah, exactly. So really good, you know, really good team there. That pointed me in the right direction and addressed my flaws. I was always a really strong person. I was like pretty strong. But I never moved like lightweight fast. I never was very quick. So we started like addressing some of the, you know, they always say fast twitch muscles. And I think that's, it's so like, you know, weird to say, cause I don't know if I necessarily believe in it, but, I mean, you know, it's, they addressed it and we started moving faster and it was really frustrating because we have like these time devices that essentially measure, your force output, like on Kaiser machines. And you know, there were guys that were like smaller than me getting like way higher numbers. And it was really frustrating to see, like, why couldn't I move fast? And so that, and, you know, I started, you know, I focused on that. And then I ended up opening my own baseball facility this off season. And because I felt like I was in a good spot to teach others, I think not only others, I really enjoy teaching like younger athletes, like the high school age and just connecting with them and, you know, them having the respect for me to actually, they're actually listening to me and not just like on the field stuff. I really like to like connect with them off the field stuff and like, you know, walk through life with them. And I think it's an accumulation of all these things. I can't point to like one particular, like, oh, I did this thing right here and that's why I'm throwing so hard. There's a whole system behind what I'm doing and what I'm learning and the way I'm growing. And I think growth is a very slow cook process. Everyone in society wants like velocity now, you know, the microwave society, everyone wants it instantaneously and they don't get it in 2 months and then they get frustrated and, you know, let go of the process. And, I think that's something I've done really well is just sticking to the process, sticking to the analytics, like seeing what pitches like are elite in the league, trying to chase those pitches. And yeah, just like letting my body kind of grow and letting God kind of just dictate my path.
You know, in talking to you about what you did after you had Tommy John surgery, you did some drills to accelerate your arm speed, right? With lighter balls and lighter apparatuses, which that was part of it, increasing your arm speed. But at the same time, after Tommy John surgery, that's not really recommended. You were taking a chance there, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to put it is a financial advisor, if he's going to, you know, risk money in the market for you, you know, the more money that's at risk, you could lose it, but like you could have a really big payout. And then with where I'm at in my life, I only have a select number of years to like risk making it to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I don't, then I start my career. And I saw a short, you know, downside to say, okay, if I re-tear this, like, well, I'll just go back, I'll finish my college and I'll be successful in something else in life. But, so in short is what I'm saying is I decided to risk it, you know, to try to push myself a little bit. And it paid off. You know, I've gotten the reward so far, and I don't think everyone should risk it. I think that like it was a very risky move because there is a lot higher stress doing that. But it's something that I decided that I wanted to go with, and I wanted to go down fighting, or at least pushing my body to the limit and seeing what that limit is. And I definitely reached it before, and I don't want to reach it again. But it's an interesting ride so far.
It's been interesting to watch, and the chance you took, man, has it paid off, at least till now. When I talk about, you know, usually someone stands out right away because I've watched so much baseball and we've watched so much baseball. You can always tell the guys that think they belong and belong right away. Some guys will ease into it. Some guys will just buy the, you know, getting service time in the major leagues, it'll just happen over time. But you seemed like you belonged right away. Is that something that is just in you as a person, or did you have to kind of talk yourself into that? Because I'm serious, it looked like you had pitched in the major league for years when you stepped on that mound first time.
Yeah. David Bell kept, you know, referring to that and saying that, like, you know, through spring training, and I really appreciate like him saying that about me. But I think it's for me, I think it's kind of twofold. You got to fake it till you make it. And I do kind of go through life like that. Like maybe I like learn through failure and go, you know, I jumped with 2 feet in, and, you know, I wanted to be fully committed, not like timid on the mound. The mound is my spot. Like I'm not up there trying to be anyone else's friend or anything while I'm pitching. You know, it's me versus you, and like it's go time. So I don't really care if you're a rookie ball kid or high school. I mean, in particular, I think this story will kind of explain who I am. Like I was throwing a live BP in quarantine when we quarantined before the season last year, and there was a college kid working out there, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I think I can get a hit off you." He was like, you know, kind of talking some mess, and I mean, I was throwing against him, and earlier in the day, I was like 94, 95. And then he got in the box because he was talking mess. I ran it up to 99 and I struck him out. And he was like, "Man, why you got to do me like that?" I'm like, "Oh, bro, you were talking crap to me. Like, this is my domain. Like, you're not going to, I don't care what grade or level you're at. Like, this is me. This is like who I am." So, like I said, I think it's twofold. But yeah, that's definitely like the person I am.
I love that story. Are we talking mess to TJ?
Don't do it.
Oh, I love that. Now that you've come so long in a short period of time, you came from a guy that you were forced to be added to the 40-man roster. They didn't want to lose you. So all of a sudden you're on the team. Now they're fighting over, okay, is he going to long-term, not necessarily right now, but long-term, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be a reliever? They're literally fighting over you. No, I want him to be a reliever. No, I want him to be a starter, which is a good thing. And you're entrenched on the team. But now comes the pressure of, some say it's harder to stay than arrive in big league baseball. So now the pressure, and you've put up success, so they're going to expect things. Are you ready for that pressure?
Yeah, I think I've shown so far, even in just spring training so far, that I've come this year better than I was last year, and I'm definitely here to stay. I'm here to actually take someone's job, not just like on the red or anywhere else, but I'm trying to be an all-star. I'm trying to win the Cy Young. Like, I'm not here to just stay. My goal is not just to stay in the big leagues. My goal is to be the best in the big leagues.
That is awesome. You give me chills when you say that. See, I love competitors like that. I do.
And I think the fans listening are like, yes, that's what we need. Some guys are timid up there and they're nibbling on the mound and, you know, trying not throwing strikes and not trusting their stuff. And like, come on, man, go after this guy.
Yeah.
So as fans, I think, you know, people like to hear that. So,
absolutely.
You had mentioned, that you opened your own sports academy. What is it called? Kova Sports?
Yeah. Kova Sports. Yep. I opened it down in Texas.
K-O-V-A. And
yeah,
I saw a video where you were throwing, I don't know what the drill's called, where you run up and throw it into a net as hard as you can. And I think you reached 103 and you were all hyped and it looked like a student when you were chest bumping with.
That's the kid. That's the kid who was talking crap.
Really?
Yeah, really? That's him. Yeah, now he's one of my boys because he respects me. I like that.
That is great.
Yeah.
Oh, well, who would have known? I had no idea that that was a kid. But
he's in college. He's one of our interns now.
That's tremendous. How good is this guy, TJ Antone? Of much more with TJ coming up right after this.
Western and Southern is committed to helping make Cincinnati the best place to live, work, and play. That's why we're proud to sponsor the Strikeout Cancer Initiative. Every time a Cincinnati Reds pitcher strikes out a batter, Western and Southern makes a donation to the Barrett Cancer Center. We're all in this one together to beat cancer. Join Western and Southern in this mission to make our hometown better than ever. Western and Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
You said that you always had that in your mind that you were going to open an academy, whether you were successful or not, right, in Major League Baseball. Tell me a little bit about this sports academy.
Yeah, so like I've always wanted to do it. It all started with my very first offseason as a professional. I got drafted by the Reds in 14, so like fall of 14. Just needed to make some money in the offseason. A friend of mine that I played with, he's one of my coaches when I played with when I was in high school. He was like, hey, just come do lessons at my facility. Like, I won't charge you. I'm like, oh, cool. Because, you know, usually people take a cut or whatever, you know, $10, $20 a lesson, which is no problem. But he was like, oh, I won't charge you. I just want you to come hang out and, like, do some lessons. So started there. And then it kind of went down the quest of, like, well, am I really giving these kids, like, the best, like, information? So I personally started studying more just so I could give, like, a better lesson. I don't believe in, like, half effort, anything. So I really wanted to, you know, give the best lesson that I could. So I started studying and, you know, each off season, I became a little bit better, a little bit more aware of what I was teaching. I went up to Driveline myself, for myself, just like in, I think it was in the fall of 18, I believe. You know, went up there and I saw all the athletes, the way they trained, and like, I loved the atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. And I was like, I want to do this. I want to own a place like this. Like, this is really cool. Like, you know, pro guys, minor league guys, major league guys, high school guys, you know, all in here just trying to get better and like, and just in a great atmosphere, like learn from one another and, you know, just developing friendships that'll last a lifetime. And friends with another guy who does lessons, David Lucroy, which is Jonathan Lucroy's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he did lessons at the same place I did. And I was talking to him about it, like, hey, let's, you know, open a spot. And then so ended up being me, him, and another ex-minor leaguer, Jeremy Kivel, which he actually knows quite a bit about pitching. I reach out to him all the time. He's been up to 101 off the mound. He blew out twice. That's why he didn't make it in the Reds. So me, him, and David decided to go three ways and open a facility. And, you know, I wanted it to be, you know, cool and kind of sexy and like a place that kids really wanted to come train at. So we had like, during quarantine, we had like 20 athletes And then we were planning for like a little bit bigger fall, around 60 athletes. We ended up having 80 athletes at the beginning of fall, and we ended up with 100 pitchers at the end of fall.
Wow.
So we grew really, really fast. And luckily we had some really good interns to help us out. And yeah, it's just been a great, experience so far. We're planning to have a really big, now we're starting to have a lot of college kids reach out. There's some Cincinnati kids that are driving down from Cincinnati during the summer to intern down there.
Wow,
so it's really cool. Yeah, it's a really cool atmosphere. We do a really good job of like, not only like leading the kids in the direction they need to go, but like teaching them why they need to hit these particular spots and everything. It's just something I'm passionate about, and it's something that I can see myself doing post baseball. It's just like giving back to the kids that want to be in the position that I am. Like, I will provide a way. That's how I feel about it.
That's great. You normally hear in the latter stages of a guy's career, kind of set it up for post playing days, but you're in it early. I mean, that's tremendous. And word gets out, man. You know, people,
yeah,
they're like, this guy was throwing 89 to 93. Now he's in the upper 90s. So something happened.
Yeah.
So let's
I'll be sharing some secrets. You know,
yeah. I want some of that, whatever that formula is. I want some of that. So
yeah,
that's great, man. And, you try to get involved with the kids at all outside of baseball, lead them in the right direction in that way as well. Is that something you want to get involved with as well?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the kids reach out to me about college, you know, I guess advisory, like how do I, you know, go about getting signed with this team, or I really want to go to this school. And, you know, sometimes I have to have a heart-to-heart kid like, hey, like if you want to go to this school, you got to throw this hard, or you have to be able to do this. And then some kids are kind of already there. You know, I have like one kid in particular. He's like, I really want to go to Houston, University of Houston. And he's a sophomore throwing 93. So like, he's already there. So it's cool to be able to like be a major leaguer. I reached out to the Houston coach and like let him know that this kid's interested, and you know, kind of get that instant, respect, I guess, from the coach.
Absolutely.
Just name dropping myself and helping kids get signed, you know, and he probably will get signed, maybe not to Houston, but whatever D1 he wants to go to. So helping kids, you know, is getting kids college paid for is a huge, huge thing that I'm not only like it makes me feel good inside, but like I think it should also like, you know, make the kids feel good because they're working their butts off and they've earned it themselves.
I've also seen you giving back. Cyberbullying is something that is you're interested in combating. Correct. And I had read something, it might have been on your Instagram feed, I don't know, about parents having the responsibility going forward of how kids should use their phones, because obviously phones are a huge part of society now, particularly with younger people. Cyberbullying, I don't want to say a weird phrase near and dear to your heart, but combating it is
yeah,
something that you're passionate about as well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just like a side thing that I like, you know, looked out for. You know, I think kids can get in a lot of trouble. I feel like kids don't realize what their words are doing to others. Like sometimes we as professional athletes, we talk about what people say about us on Twitter and stuff. And like, I remember in particular last year, you know, it was my first major league year, and I gave up a 3-run home run to Bodie against the Cubs. And we like, I think we lost that game. And I remember like reading tweets from like adult humans that like are saying that I need to go die because I, you know, gave up a home run to this guy, and like, you know, I owe this guy $100 because I made him lose a bet. Like, I mean, just like the most people just say these things that like they don't even realize the words they're saying, and like it's really like kids don't know how to handle that stuff. Like, I'm an adult, I could just be like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But a 14-year-old, you know, girl or boy, they don't know, like they don't know where to put their self-worth in, so they put their self-worth in what people say that they are. And it's sad, man. It's really sad because there's like suicides and stuff, and it's just, I mean, it can get bad really fast. So I think, you know, people just got to be careful with like what they're saying online. Like, keep it positive or don't say it at all, or like be as respectful as possible if you disagree with something. Like, hey, you know, like I don't agree with that particularly, but like, be as respectful as possible. And you know, it's like I said, it's nothing I'm like insanely passionate about, like go after people every day, but like definitely something people I think should be aware of.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I've been an idiot on social media in the past, and I had to do a complete transformation of myself in many regards.
That's cool though, because you noted you recognized it and you made an adjustment. Like a lot of people don't even recognize.
No, believe me, I've done some stupid things in my life, so I could take back. But you just kind of try to learn, and particularly what's been going on lately in society, it's kind of a wake up call for everyone in all regards. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, just to listen and just to stop and think, you know, that's not cool, man. That's not cool. Don't be a typical guy. Don't be don't be a jerk. Time to grow up. It took me a little longer, but so anyways, it's across the board. I agree with you. You know, adults are just as guilty of things. And
yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully a much lighter subject. Who do you hang with on the team?
Well, you know, I hung out with Amir. We couldn't hang out with a lot of people last year just due to COVID protocols outside the field. But like while I was at the field, I hung out with Amir a lot. Robert Stevenson was my throwing partner, so I hung out with him a lot. Love Sal Romano. This year, I'm loving me some Jeff Hoffman, man. That guy is awesome. Noah Ramirez is awesome. Doolittle is like, I was honestly expecting him not even to say a word to me just because he has so many years in the bigs. And, you know, you just don't want to, go impede on someone's, you know, what their routine is and whatnot. I mean, Doolittle's just a great, great human being and so fun to hang out with. He's my locker mate. So, you know, this team is a lot of fun. I wish I could, you know, get to know some of them a little bit better. Off the field, just they're very strict about what we can do in terms of the COVID protocol. But really great dudes in and around the clubhouse. Like, I have no bad words to say about anybody.
Wow, your locker mates with Dulce. We're not allowed in the clubhouse. It's been very unusual for me that I'm not in the clubhouse now for the second year. But you guys are locker mates? I mean, that's serious beard games right there together. Do they pair you up because of the beard game or what?
They gave us 6 feet of room, obviously. But, yeah, man, me and Dude, we're running the beard game right now. Everyone knows, don't come over there.
No question. Don't come over here with that peach fuzz. Get on out of here. How about off the field? When you've got a night free, a day free, and, you know, obviously you're married, you spend time with your wife, but if you're just, you know, TJ time, what do? You a video game guy? What do you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah, so I don't know if you call this spare time. It might actually be work, but I've been programming for a lot of guys with COVA. We're doing a lot of pitching programming right now, just online stuff. And so I guess that's kind of some spare time and some like actual spare time when I have nothing to do. I do like to play video games, play a lot of some Call of Duty here and there. When I have good internet connection, obviously, you know, that's pretty bad where I'm at right now.
We tried to do this via Zoom, but it wasn't working. Bad,
yeah,
unstable
internet really
connection.
This Airbnb I'm at. It's not me. It's Airbnb.
Yeah, no, I can't.
I just recently got an iPad, a new iPad. I just needed a new one. And I had like the iPad 4 before that. And so I got the new iPad, and I've been kind of like sketching on it. It's kind of fun, doing some like sketches and stuff. But besides that, yeah, I just feel like I'm pretty normal guy. Like, you know, watch my shows like Yellowstone. I just started Yellowstone.
What a great, you just started it?
I just started it. Yeah.
Great.
So I've heard a lot of good reviews.
Oh, it's one of my favorite. It's great.
Yeah. I've heard it was better than Game of Thrones. So that's up there. So we'll see what it's about.
Well, I can't. I didn't watch Game of Thrones. I know I'm one of those people. I'm sorry. I just haven't invested the time. I know. I'm sorry. I haven't. Not that I don't want to.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah, it is a lot of time. It's not that I don't want to. I'm sure I'll watch it at some point. But I can't compare it to Game of Thrones. But I could tell you that it's one of my favorite shows of all time, Yellowstone. It's pretty good.
Yeah. But so I'm on like episode two. So
oh, wow. You're early into it. Well, it's one of those shows.
I just started it like 2 days ago.
When a new season comes out, it's old school because they do one episode a week. They don't release it like on Netflix or Prime or whatever. You've got to wait till the next week, like old school. Like, oh my gosh, I need another episode. I got to wait.
So is it done or is there still new seasons coming out?
No, they're not done. You know, they were slowed down because of COVID, I think. But no, there's a new season coming on. People are just picking it up. So yeah, no, it's still going. In fact, they ended with a cliffhanger, I believe. Yeah, a big cliffhanger at the end of season three. So I won't tell you what that is.
So. Yeah. That's kind of like what I do in my free time.
What about some other shows? See, people love when I ask questions like this, the fans love it because it's like, wow, TJ Andy, he likes a show I like. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I watch, I'm trying to think of the name of it. I really got into this really, really stupid show in the off season with my wife, just like whenever I had extra time. I think it was like Crazy Rich Asians or something like that on Netflix. It was quite funny. Quite hilarious.
No idea what that is. I have to look that up.
I think that's the name of it. I got to find the name of it. But it's just a show about like, I guess these Asian people that live in LA and they are just like, they're billionaires and they just throw these like really big parties and stuff and just have like stupid drama. I don't know. It's just kind of like one of those mindless shows that you watch and you're just like,
everyone's got to have those mindless shows. People.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think of this podcast as a mindless podcast. They just, you know, for an hour or so.
Driving on their commute, you know.
Yeah. Working
catching up
out.
With Jim Day.
No.
Working out.
It's catching up with whoever the guest is. It's not me. I just try to stay out of the way. What about music, man? You're from Texas. Are you a country music guy? What kind of music do you like?
Yeah, I like some country. I think my two go-tos right now, I kind of go through phases. My go-tos right now, I've been big Kygo fan. Kygo's like kind of like dance electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
And he like does remakes of other songs. And then I'm always a big Drake fan. I like rap. I like hip hop. I like good music, good singing too. So Drake's like, you know, one of the best of all time at what he does. So I like Drake. I do like country every once in a while. And
see, I shouldn't assume, and this is showing my age here. I should not assume because you're from Texas that you like country music or that would be the top of your list. It used to be every player that come out of Texas would be like, you know, George Strait's my man. So it's changed a lot. I should not assume that just because you're from Texas that country music is on top of your list.
I mean, I do like country music. I'm not going to shoot it down at all, but you know, I think I like definitely when I'm working out, like I like rap songs. I like, you know, good rap songs. Get me pumped up and lift some weights. I don't run, not a big runner. So I get on machines and, but yeah, rap songs, like get me through that. Usually I'm listening to country songs whenever like I'm driving. But mostly the time, like when I was driving in the off season, it was like 30 minutes every day. I listened to a podcast. It's actually called Exploring My Strange Bible. And it's just some cool, like, some cool Bible stories. And like, just like this guy explains it really well. And it kind of helps me like understand the Bible a little better.
Well, that's a good thing because we all need those that are of the faith. It's not the easiest book to understand.
No, it's not.
And there's so many, I don't want to say hidden meanings, but things that you don't take out of it when you read for the first time and then someone explains it in a different way. You're like, wow.
Now. Yeah, definitely. There's multiple layers to it.
Yeah.
And, it's cool to kind of see how all the other stories are like connected to each other. And it's just cool, man. I enjoy like reading the Bible.
It seems like you're strong in your faith. You always been that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think that Tommy John surgery like brought me home, you know, like tied the ribbon on top kind of thing. After that, I didn't do it last year just because of COVID, but the 2 years prior to that, I'd go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you about that. Trip.
Yeah, I go to Puerto Rico on a mission trip every year. And it's like a baseball-focused mission trip with a company called UPI. The guy I go with is Tony Graffanino. He's like a ex big leaguer, like 12 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Played for the Yankees and stuff. So I go down with him, and we teach kids. We do free clinics and teach kids. And oh, I say free, they give us food, and that is plenty payment for me. they feed us every time, and no, it's great, like hanging out with the kids and just teaching them a little bit what we know, and then, you know, just like sharing our faith and just it really is kind of our story. Everyone's story is, you know, so different and kind of where they came from. So we like to share our stories, and there's a lot of kids that are searching out there and are don't really know what they're searching for. So it's good to like lead them in a good direction.
Yeah.
And
no
then
doubt.
I also recently, I'm starting to like lead the chapel for the major league team. So that's kind of tough, that being a rookie, but like, I guess
really?
I'm not a rookie anymore. I can't say that.
Yeah,
I guess Lorenzen is trying to like hand me the reins. I'm like, gosh, man.
I was just going to say, if Lorenzen is in the crowd, how can you've got to be intimidated by that, even though you're not a guy that gets intimidated, but that would be intimidating.
I mean, you know, you can't like everyone, you can't be intimidated. Like when you're doing your best and you're trying to lead, I haven't actually done a Bible study lead yet. I'm more of like coordinating the Zoom calls with our chaplain out of Cincinnati, which is still like kind of like a big deal. But yeah, man, no, I think we're all in this together kind of thing. And it's not intimidating like, oh, well, Lorenzo knows more than me about the Bible or anything like that. Like we all kind of input. So like when someone leads it, we're all going to talk about it and we're all going to like give our input on what we think about it. So we're good. It's a good family. It's really good teammates as well. So I enjoy like learning about the Bible and kind of searching with them. It's very fun.
Yeah. Keeps you grounded. No doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're an interesting dude. You know, I was looking through your Instagram feed, and this is a place I want to go that I haven't been.
Uh-oh.
These pictures of New Zealand.
I mean, oh, yeah.
What was that, part of a honeymoon?
Yeah, so for the honeymoon, I mean, I wanted to go all out.
It looked like
so
you did. You
yeah,
swung for the fences right
trip.
Away.
Yeah. We did a 19-day trip.
Wow.
I think the coolest part about the 19-day trip is we only packed in a carry-on bag and a backpack.
What?
So each and guess whose idea that was? That was my wife's idea. Of all people, like, to try and force that to happen. I was like, okay, let's do it. So we did. We just rolled our clothes up, put it all in a carry-on and our backpack. And we did, yeah, we did, like, I want to say a week in New Zealand. So 7 days in New Zealand. And then we did the other 10 days. Yeah, 10 days and 13 days in Australia. So we went to both. New Zealand is like the prettiest place on earth. I think everyone, if you can, I would try to go down to Queenstown, check out Milford Sound, and just, I mean, it's just immaculate. These are all the photos I took are with my iPhone, which is, that's just crazy to think about.
It really is, because the pictures are phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's all with my iPhone.
It's just beauty that it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, man. We had to hire a travel agent for that to try and get everything coordinated. It was kind of tough, but I'm glad we got it all knocked out before COVID hit. So last big trip.
I am an overpacker. I don't think 19 days to roll up my clothes in a backpack. I don't think I could do it. I go to spring training. It's like I there's no way I'm going to wear all this when I, you know.
Yeah, I'm usually the same way, but I just rewore outfits and like we washed them in the tubs in the hotel. It was a lot of fun, man. I really enjoyed just hanging out with my wife and just doing some, you know, some cool things around the world with her.
That is great. Well, man, you were you know what? You lived up to the billing. You're an interesting dude at a very young age. And
I'm sure we just scratched the surface too.
That's what I was just going to say. I mean, we've literally just kind of scratched it a little bit. There's many more layers underneath. And if you would come back, I would love to peel some of those layers off.
Oh, absolutely, man. I enjoy hanging out with you, talking to you. So, yeah, anytime.
That is great. I know you got a meeting you got to get to, so I'm going to let you rock and roll. And lots of luck in the 2021 season. You are as exciting of a player that has come through the Red system in a long time, and I mean that. The sky could be the limit for you, my friend.
I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That is TJ Antone. That is T-E-J-A-Y. And indeed, that is a big league name and a big league player. And a big league person. TJ, we'll catch you on down the road.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Jim Day Podcast. Spread the word. Follow me on social media, if you like, at Jim Day TV, Twitter, and Instagram. And who knows what we're going to tackle on down the road, but we'll tackle it together here on the Jim Day Podcast. So long.